it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm excited to be here with you.
On your Thanksgiving Eve.
How about that? It's a Fat Guy Christmas tomorrow, and we thank you guys for taking a moment and joining us today. And we're a little bit behind getting together, but we didn't want to miss this opportunity to celebrate wrestling and Thanksgiving. They go hand in hand, especially in the old school, do they not, Rick?
Oh, my God. Biggest day of the year. Starcade. Every year.
And I think that was
from 83 on.
That was like the biggest night of the year for every territory, not just Jim Crockett Promotions, right?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest night for Dallas was Christmas Day.
I saw a great report about Terry Funk once upon a time where he had this pretty crazy idea that he tried to convince some folks of. Uh-huh. What if we rented every major arena in the country on Thanksgiving, and then all these promoters would have to sublease from us, and we could just jack up the rent? Of course, he never did that, but that sounds like a Terry Funk idea if there ever was.
I hadn't heard that, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, we shouldn't put anything past you. You called it just last week. We talked about, hey, what would you do with the title? You said MJF. MJF is our new AEW World Champion, and it doesn't feel as if they're going down the babyface route. The wrinkle was William Regal.
Yeah.
Sliding MJF the brass knucks.
Yeah.
Everybody's got questions now. Does this mean that MJF and Regal are together? We'll find out tonight on Dynamite. What do you think of
I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, to me, it would make him a heel. It was also my preference. So, damn it, I had to get a booking fee here. I get Jarrett booked.
I was so excited to see him slide the knucks over. I think William Regal is one of the more underrated television performers. Clearly a great in-ring technician, but boy, on the mic. He knows how to tell a story. How great is Mr. Regal?
Great. I've liked Steve from day one. I don't think he ever really had a chance. I think now you're seeing the best of Steve Regal 20 years later. Because he was always involved in a tag team or something like that where he wasn't, where he wasn't given the freedom to talk the way he can. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him have a promo like that. WWE, so I mean, he's great in the role. He looks like a heel, acts like a heel, and he just comes across being really professional. If he in turn is gonna be with MJF for a long time, I think it's a great move on their part.
Well, we saw at the pay-per-view too the return of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. A lot of folks thought would come back in and just reclaim the old trios titles from the Death Triangle. It didn't happen. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks do not pick up the win, but not only are they back in AEW, they're back producing Being the Elite. It came out this past Monday, and the fans at the pay-per-view, they were chanting F CM Punk, and, Being the Elite actually made sure to focus on that chant tonight. They're in Chicago. And this is a big test because this, of course, is a crazed market for CM Punk. First of all, maybe the best wrestling audience in the country these days, Chicago. But boy, they're in love with CM Punk. What do you expect tonight? Do you think CM Punk is going to get a cold shoulder tonight from these fans? That would be hard for me to believe.
If I were smart, I wouldn't mention his name.
Yeah.
If he's not part of the company, I wouldn't even mention his name. In commentary, I would tell the Young Bucks not to bring up his name. Now, the Young Bucks were heels, or MJF was working with them. I said, tear him a new asshole in Chicago, because the fans do love wrestling. But unless they have plans to use him, I think that they, once again, you put yourself in a position where it only benefits him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You sit home, he's not doing anything, and you're going to go to sleep saying, I win. No, he doesn't. But I don't know. I don't know what the whole story is. And I swear when I say that, I don't know. So you know more about it than I do. I just know that it would be like going into San Antonio or Dallas and somebody challenging The Undertaker or Steve Austin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, so why bring his name up? It just takes away from the other guys on the show.
Well, I totally agree. I don't think that they've ever intentionally tried to mention him, but sometimes these fans they get excited and they'll start chanting or doing whatever they want to do, and it feels like Chicago being CM Punk country. We might have an interesting scenario tonight. I can't wait.
Well, if the fans initiate it, then address it. I wouldn't initiate it.
No.
But if they start chanting CM Punk, I just sit down in the middle of the ring, cross my legs, and say, "Where is he? I'm waiting." whoever they elect to put in that position.
Well, of course, the other big talk in wrestling is the idea that Royal Rumble has set a record. I don't know if you saw this, but this is the biggest gate in the history of Royal Rumble. They passed $5 million, and I think it's going to beat even the 2017 Royal Rumble, which I believe had more tickets sold here at the Alamo Dome, but much higher ticket prices this time around. Over a $5 million gate for a Royal Rumble. Business is still pretty damn strong these days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, what can you say? It just gets better. Wait till the ticket sales go on in Philadelphia when they hear I'm going to be there.
Oh, are we allowed to talk about that?
Hell yeah. They didn't say don't tell anybody.
Okay. Well, I guess we can spill the beans. They got a big plan coming up. I guess in the month of January, according to my clock, it looks like that's going to be the 30-year anniversary of Monday Night Raw, right?
Yeah. I feel, and I haven't been invited, and it's a fucking big deal. For all the people out there, they go, why? Why? Because it's Raw, and it's a big fucking deal.
Yes, it is a big deal.
I'm honored. Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? 30 years. Can you think about that?
It's unbelievable.
Remember, Nitro was just going to destroy Raw. I can't even spell Nitro anymore, can you? We're putting you out of business, Vince. Good Lord.
That didn't really work, did it?
Huh?
I said, I don't think that really worked, did it?
No, for me, it'll be getting in there Sunday night. I'll be looking for Austin, Undertaker, and any John Cone, anybody that's within sight for a cold beverage, and I'll be buying.
Sounds like a good time. I can't wait to see how that one goes down. I can't believe it's the 30-year anniversary of Monday Night Raw, Philadelphia, yeah. Pennsylvania, January 23rd. I think that's the go home edition of Raw before the Royal Rumble too. So going to be a big story for sure. I do want to talk about something else that's happening this week before we bounce around and celebrate the good old days of professional wrestling. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is coming back to wrestling, and it's happening this Sunday at the Dorton Arena. Of course, this weekend is all about WrestleCade in Winston-Salem. Lots of our friends are going to be there. It's a who's who. But on Sunday, as I understand it, it's FTR teaming with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Black Machismo, a.k.a. Jay Lethal. Brock Anderson will be there with his father, Arn, in the corner, and a mystery opponent. Lots of speculation about that mystery opponent, but the Dorton Arena, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Who'd have thought, man? Take a look at that. How cool is that?
That's great. That's absolutely great. I'm happy for him. I just hope they sent me some footage of him working out. He looks great, as predicted.
Well, listen, you just were fortunate enough to be in the ring again. Well, any last words of encouragement or words of wisdom for the Dragon?
No, God, he'll be fabulous. Words of encouragement, just, don't get hurt. But we don't, we can't think like that.
Right.
But I'm excited for him. I mean, I think everybody, if they're able to pull it off and they can do it without getting hurt. And I wouldn't be surprised with the components there if he didn't have a really good match.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I mean, take a look at, FTR and Jay Lethal, and certainly Brock Anderson's making strides, and we don't need to probably speculate as to who the mystery opponent is, but
who do you think it is?
I know who it is, but I'm not going to say.
Why?
I don't want to spoil the show. It's a surprise.
Well, are you going to tell me? Just text me so I know.
Yeah, I'll tell you the first plan, and I'll tell you who it actually is now, because I think it changed, maybe.
Okay.
All right. But either way, here's what I'm most excited about in this. By the way, if you can't get to Dorton Arena, and you should, it's this Sunday, November 27th, there in Raleigh. I think this is going to be on Fight, man, so you can enjoy it from the comfort of your own home on Sunday. Maybe watch a little football and check out the Dragon and FTR.
Oh, it's going to be on Fight?
I think so. That's the rumor.
Oh, good for them. Good for them.
I wanted to also bring up to you that the fun little piece of that story, at least for me and you, I think, is on July 31st, our man Jay Lethal got to wrestle Ric Flair. And then in November, he got to wrestle Sting and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Yeah. This might be the most fun that Jay Lethal's had in his career.
Yeah. Boy, so deserving. So deserving. How was the match with Sting and with Darby and the Jay and that?
I really enjoyed it. It was a crazy brawl. We saw people jumping off everything, and
yeah,
we saw unbelievable coffin drops from every angle, including into a guitar. Jeff Jarrett somehow manages to get younger. He's got abs now. I can't believe it. But you know, when it was all said and done, Jay Lethal took the pin, and I can't wait to see what's next for the Last Outlaw. Is he going to assume a more backstage role, or if you were booking, would you continue to use him on television as well?
Oh, I didn't get to see the match, but I think Jeff's a hell of a worker.
Yeah, I did too.
There's nothing wrong with Jeff. I mean, if there is, I'm not aware of it. He looks great. He doesn't drink, so you know he stays in pretty good shape. It means you can't trust him, but you know.
Oh my gosh, listen to you.
Guys that don't drink, we don't trust him. No. No, he looks great. I'd use him as much as I could. He's a smart guy. He's a hell of a worker.
Well, let's talk about somebody else who is making the headlines these days. Cain Velasquez, former UFC star, former UFC champion. Of course, he made some headlines when he had some legal trouble. And now he has been released from jail last week. And this week they've announced he's coming to do some lucha at the AAA show in Arizona on December 3rd. Have you met Cain Velasquez before?
Yeah, I know him real well.
I'm thrilled.
It really caught me off guard. He got into business because of Ray. He's real good friends with Ray Mysterio. And then I've traveled him, I've been around him. He's a nice guy. I was really surprised to hear that.
Well, I'm excited that he's getting an opportunity to dabble in wrestling again. And I think this really adds a lot of juice and a lot of steam for AAA. I mean, this is going to be a media event now.
Oh yeah.
The rumor was that ticket sales maybe weren't what you might have hoped for, but boy, that's going to add a big boost. And you want to talk about a lot of attention having him as I understand it, Rick, he's got an ankle bracelet on and he's going to remove it in order to wrestle. That might be a first. It might be.
I hope it doesn't put him back up in jail. I don't know. What did he get for again?
I don't know all the details, but let's just say that he believed that someone in his family had been touched inappropriately, and he sought vengeance for that.
Yes,
I think a lot of people who knew the details were really pulling for him and supporting him. I don't know him. I've never met him, enjoyed his fights, and think a lot of AAA. And since I don't know all the information, I don't think I should maybe have an opinion.
No, I'm just saying he's a real nice guy. And I'm, you know, if you got a family, you know how precious they are to you. So, you know, you got to be careful. But I heard the same thing. It was a family issue. Somebody offended him or someone in his family. So you never know all the facts, but I like him personally. And whether, you know, whatever went wrong, affect my opinion of
it. Well, let's talk about your opinion on this. I don't know if you saw the news, but it came out yesterday as we're recording this that they have cast someone to play Ric Flair in the new Von Erich movie.
Hell yeah.
The Iron Claw is the new Von Erich family biopic, or biopic, if you will. And Aaron Dean Eisenberg is going to be playing the Nature Boy. What'd you think when you heard that?
Well, I don't know much about him, but I mean, I know they called me to talk to him on the phone, and I was traveling and never got to talk to him. So I haven't met him, and I haven't talked to him. But I will tell you this: if they do an accurate depiction of what Bionic Family went through, this would be a great, great. Is it a movie. Or is it going to be like Netflix or?
I don't know.
In the theaters?
No, not. I don't think anyone knows. I don't think that's been disclosed. I mean, these days you make more money not going to the theater, from what I understand. And we'll see. But I'm sure whether it starts in a movie or a theater or not, it's going to be on a streaming service shortly thereafter, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, if it's an accurate depiction, it'll be one of the greatest stories ever told in wrestling history, because there was so damn much history with that family.
It's going to be interesting to see how the real world, sort of outside of the pro wrestling bubble, receives it, and to see if it sort of boosts interest in the world class territory or just wrestling nostalgia in general.
I hope they're not going to have him depict me like somehow I feel like the after party will come in there. The death of San Antonio.
I feel like that's a safe bet.
somehow there'll be more than just Ric Flair wrestling all of Von Erichs.
I can't wait to see how it all shakes out. I mean, the rumor is MJF is going to play Lance Von Erich. And I kind of hoped, you know, once I saw that, my understanding is once upon a time that Paul Bosch worked pretty closely with the Von Erich office. And I thought for sure, man, if they're casting MJF, he's going to play Gina Hernandez. I mean, Gina Hernandez would be like his wrestling uncle.
No, Gina Hernandez is being played by Ryan Nemitz.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Nick, I just ran into him. Yeah, he's just playing Gino. Lance Von Erich was on a real Von Erich. Yeah, so I got to clarify that for people that are confused.
I mean,
think about this. When Fritz first started in the business, Jack, the oldest son, was electrocuted on a clothesline outside of their trailer. David, of course, died of regurgitation, not being able to regurgitate his food in Japan. Then the Kerry Von Erich, the memorial came, and that's when I wrestled Kerry. And then Kerry, you know, lost his foot in a motorcycle accident. I mean, it's just terrible. And then, you know, he was going to go to jail for prescription fraud and just decided he'd rather, you know, which with a lot of people, and I totally understand that. I wouldn't want to go to prison for 25 years. So, you know, and then I'm not sure exactly what happened with Mike. Same type of thing. And then Chris, and then the only one still living is Kevin. And we did not get to see him at the last match, unfortunately. Kevin Von Erich is a great guy.
What I understand is Mike Von Erich overdosed on sleeping pills in 1987, which is just terrible.
It's sad. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, I can't wait to see.
What did Chris die?
I believe that too was suicide. I think it was a 9mm gunshot wound to the head. That would have been 91.
Yeah. Well, he's the only one who didn't wrestle.
Well, he tried to.
I didn't wrestle Chris.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mike. You're saying he's the only one you didn't.
Yeah, we I had to beat him in 10 minutes to get a shot at Kerry. No. I can't remember how it was, but it was a 10-minute match, and the crowd was so into it that I can't remember what it was, but I had to beat him, or he had to survive. Anyway, they wanted me to destroy him, but they were so loud. When the bell rang out, I was bleeding. I had to figure for him, and he didn't give up. They went crazy. So I can't remember how we got to me and Kerry again, but those are some wild times on a Saturday night in Dallas, man. Good Lord.
Well, we're going to have some wild times today, man. We're going to watch the Starrcade match from 1987. I can't believe this is a real thing, but this is the 35th anniversary. As you and I are recording, we're just 3 days away from the 35th anniversary of this big show. And we got a lot to talk about. Just Jim Crockett Promotions, the state of wrestling in 87, Ronnie Garvin as the champ, you chasing, you know, you guys have just bought the UWF. Yep. There's a lot to talk about, but I think maybe we should just jump right into it. So, Steve, if we've got that footage pulled up, let's take a look at the main event from Starrcade 1987, a steel cage match for the NWA World title. It's Ronnie Garvin defending his title against the Nature Boy. So there you go. We see you walk into the ring with a big time entrance. Of course, here in Chicago, they've got a real colorful lighting rig over the ring and the smoke. I mean, it's not an entrance like you would see today, but that was pretty big time for 1987, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, very big time. Yeah, they were really trying hard to, you know, be more like WWE at that time.
As a reminder, WrestleMania 3 has really shined a light on what's possible in wrestling. And as a live touring opportunity, WWE has doubled down. So they're running more shows than ever, not just an A town and a B town, but a C town as well. Often three shows in the very same night. Wrestling's hotter than ever for them. And the spectacle of WrestleMania 3 had everybody wanting to sort of up their game. So along the way, Crockett tries to compete and he buys out Bill Watts. That's been discussed a lot. But he also goes to a lot of the talent and says, hey, we don't have a WrestleMania, but we're going to have four big pay-per-view events. And when you combine all of those four big pay-per-view events, you'll make more money with us than you will with Vince. Please don't jump. So a lot of guys start to get big guarantees, but the idea is whatever they don't make through the week, they'll get paid up at the end of the year with a lump sum. And that's about to come due for a lot of the talent. And there's going to be some hard feelings to go around. And along the way, we've got to try to figure out creatively, how do we combine all this roster that we've got from Watts territory with the Crockett territory? And one of the ideas was, let's combine the syndicated network. And you'll even see the ring skirts here say TWN, the wrestling network. The idea was they wanted to have the biggest possible accumulation or collection of stations that they could to compete with Vince McMahon's syndicated package. And Vince feels this is a real threat. So he goes out and he reaches out to the different pay-per-view companies and says, hey, if you carry Starrcade, you won't get WrestleMania. Some of those cable systems play ball, others do not. And then he comes back and says, now I'm running head to head. I've created my own pay-per-view on the same day. We're going to call it the Survivor Series. And you have to pick. If you're carrying my show, you can't carry theirs. And some of the cable systems play ball and some do not. And then he says, well, it's at the same time. And eventually a lot of the cable systems say, well, we're not doing that. You got to stagger the shows. He won't move. So you guys move. So Starrcade, instead of being an evening affair, is now an afternoon affair. And it's no longer in direct competition. But a lot of the cable systems acquiesced because, make no mistake, WrestleMania was the brand. Vince McMahon and the WWF pay-per-view. And this is known as, you know, the sabotage Starrcade amongst guys like Tony Schiavone, because we've got Tony Schiavone on the call here along with Jim Ross. We've got everything pushed to the middle. We're no longer just trying to run Greensboro. We're trying to run a major market like Chicago. And Vince is doing all he can to shut it down. Was that the vibe? Did you know all of that coming into this, or what was the vibe as you arrived to the building and you're getting ready for the show, or are you just thinking about the match?
No, I was aware of it. I mean, I was. I mean, anybody that wasn't, you know, really in touch with what was going on in the business knew all about that. But, you know, I didn't realize it. It just kind of the way it was a cutthroat business.
Right.
I mean, you know, like we've talked about 1,000 times. If Jimmy had just stayed, in my opinion, if Jimmy had stayed east of the Mississippi, they could still be in business.
Right.
I mean, until the level of saturation with TBS got bigger. So, you know, when you're just relying on TBS to carry you nationally, right? And then you're going up against network TV, it just was difficult. I've told the story 100 times. I'd go home, and my mom and dad would say to me, hey, my friends know who Hulk Hogan is. I don't know who you are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's in my new biography or new documentary.
Do we know when we'll be able to announce that's going to air?
I will give you the exact date next week. I'm arguing with him about it.
Oh.
Because I want to watch it with you.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I do. I want to watch it with many of my friends, especially family, as I can. But the date right now would make it difficult. So I'm it's not an argument. Obviously, they're going to win. I'm just presenting a case.
Yeah. I don't know why, but obviously they're going to win. It makes me laugh.
Well, because they give you all these analytics. I'll tell you the date when we're off the air, and you're going to say, what?
Right.
But they've studied it, and they say analytically, that's going to be the perfect day. And when I tell you, you're probably going to be shocked, too. But anyway, how stiff was Garvin? Let's talk about that.
My goodness. You know, a lot of people, myself included, we've sort of wondered, was he the right guy for this? But then when you actually take a look at the match and the way you guys are beating the shit out of each other.
Oh, no shit. I wonder why my heart doesn't have any, you know, like my cholesterol so low. He knocked all the cholesterol out of my heart. He's just jumping knee-headed, but I mean, God damn. You know, Ronnie was over really big in the Southeast, but, you know, it's the same thing. It was a different kind of guy, different kind of champion, but I really enjoyed working. I mean, he didn't mind me hitting him either. He's a tough kid. A lot of guys don't want to get hit this hard.
I took a look at this match a few years ago with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
And
look how crisp his stuff looks. There's nothing there. He takes his time. It's a real fast one. And look at him. He's laying him in there. But that's what we did. You know what I mean? That's when I talked to you about the importance of being
the fundamentals.
You know, the fundamentals, yeah. He just was fundamentally strong. I mean, watch this. His kicks look great. I mean, you know what I mean? He didn't do a lot, but what he did looked great.
What did you think of the Garvin stomp that we're watching here, where he just runs all around your body and kicks you?
Well, you know, I like it enough that I told Randy Orton to do it, and Randy started doing that.
Okay.
It looks good. And it's in there. Just, you know, everything he did look good. It didn't feel good, trust me.
When we watched this with Tony Schiavone, I made the observation, I think Taz modeled his style after Ronnie Garvin.
Look at him. Look, he keeps coming, man. Ronnie's in shape.
Yeah, you open up with the fists of fire, and he returns fire.
Oh my God. Yeah. But see, also right there, he knows how to sell, too. I mean, that's one little shot, and he's boom. That makes so much difference when you're working with a guy. You know, you give him enough that he's happy as can be. So when you cut him off, then it's, you know, they get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Some guys you got to try and cut off 5 times to get so excited, and then you lose the effect of what you're doing. I mean, literally, how many times can you kick a guy in the balls, right?
Right.
Without selling it. See him? Doing a great job there. And this is another example of two of, you know, like the comparison between me and Sting and me and Ricky, like lifestyle and all that.
Yeah.
He wasn't Dusty Rhodes charisma wise, but he was the regular guy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Against the arrogant prick. And he let me hit him, boy.
You know, fans a lot of times are critical. I've been critical too of the decision to make Ron Garvin the champ. Was that the feeling inside the biz? Were any guys, was Ronnie feeling it at the time is what I'm trying to ask, I guess.
Well, it wasn't a question with Ronnie. I think Ronnie felt it. Yeah. I think he felt good about it, but it also is realistic. It just didn't, in the South, we drew like hell. We just didn't draw that well anywhere else. And that's as much my fault as it is his. Couldn't be because they thought it was phony. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't hit someone as hard as we were hitting each other and not get someone's attention. He just wasn't that Ricky Morton, Ricky Steamboat thing, kind of babyface. That makes sense?
Yep.
He was a tough guy. And I don't think it's hard to get as much sympathy on him as it was a guy like Ricky or Ricky Morton. But we did a lot of hours. We did probably 10, 12-hour Broadway together, too. He worked hard.
I think Ron Garvin is criminally underrated. You take a look at his stuff, man, and as you said earlier, it all looks real, man. Like, you can't poke holes in his stuff.
No, you should have seen it tonight when Randy Savage was first breaking into business. We were in Columbia one night, and Randy was just learning, and him and Garvin didn't get along. They were slugging it out in Columbia one night, the old township. I mean, really slugging it out. See him selling there? That's all it takes.
Did you like working cage matches in this era?
I did if I could cut myself. I saw no purpose in it if you couldn't cut yourself. Just like I do now. But the fans have become used to it. So it's not now it's acceptable not to. But I could never understand how like a guy could run my head in a cage one day and it was okay to bleed. The next day it was not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, the fans have to think that too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the old days, when they bought a ticket for a cage match, they expected blood, guts, and glory. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
And if they didn't get it, they didn't come back. But when you went on TV, you just had to be careful and change things around, which I understand that side of it too. And it probably overall was much healthier, I guess, because of all the problems. It can come from blood issues.
Yeah, we should probably mention that. We've got a lot of folks who believe that maybe the issue with blood with a lot of the guys in wrestling started based around the Magic Johnson discovery of HIV. Like when he found out he had HIV, maybe it changed a lot of people's opinion about blood. Was that your experience as well?
With that, and I think also, I didn't hear that. I mean, I was very aware of that, but I think it always more that the networks just said, guys, we can't be doing this. And with children or young kids are watching it.
Right.
I mean, that was obviously made national news, but I just think that, you know, it's, you know, like everything else, what was really cool at one time, at another time in life, been cool.
Right.
And actually, with Ronnie and I, we were hitting each other so hard we didn't need it. But I don't remember. I don't think I bled in this match, did I?
I can't imagine there was a match you didn't bleed in.
Huh. Look at those kicks. See, that's what I'm talking about. Fundamental cut.
James Stewart, a big fan of the show, wants to know, was anyone else in the conversation for dropping the World Championship 2 before Starrcade? Of course, the idea being, we know in 86, it was supposed to not be you and Nikita, but you and Magnum. But here in 87, do you remember anyone else being discussed? I think there was a rumor that Dusty wanted the shot, but maybe you or Crockett didn't think you and Dusty for a third time at StarCast would work. So, or Starrcade rather. So he winds up working with Lex Luger in a cage for the U.S. title, and you wind up with Ronnie Garvin. Do you remember Dusty being discussed, and was anyone else discussed?
No, I don't think so. The thing that I'm basically assured of is that Magnum would have been a champion had he not had the accident.
I see. So had Magnum not had the accident, he would have came into this and probably defended against you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I would have dropped it to Magnum along the way. I'm pretty sure I know that to be fact. They were building him, and he would have been good. He worked hard. He looked good. And no blood, right?
Oh yeah, it's coming.
Oh, is it coming?
Oh, you're bleeding at the end of the night for sure.
Oh, there we go. Couldn't get to it, huh? There we go.
It's so fascinating to me that, you know, that's what makes a good match to you.
Well, once again, if I take your face in real life and I run you into the cage, a metal cage, are you going to bleed?
Right.
You're at least going to bruise. But especially with Garvin putting up, biting me and all that shit, how can you not bleed? I never asked the other guy to do anything, but man, you could check my name for blood every night. So I made a living. And watch it. Here, watch this. How can you hit your head on a metal post and not bleed? And trust me, he's clipping me in the head. Yeah, it's fun watching this stuff.
My goodness.
Seems like yesterday.
What is your take on moving Starrcade out of Greensboro?
Terrible. Worst thing that ever happened.
Wow.
The second worst thing that ever happened was having the heels win the War Games.
It should have been the baby faces every time.
It killed Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
They never drew again. We went from selling out to nothing.
Right.
Absolutely. I heard WWE's gonna have War Games now.
That's the talk, man. It looks like it.
Well, maybe
it's not going to work off the top. Who'd have thought?
Maybe I get one more blade.
Oh, what are you talking about? Listen to you.
We have to have a blade for War Games.
That's what we need to do. We need to get you a gig just making the blades.
Yeah.
I guess we should mention that, you know.
Hey, I used to make it for half the guys in the territory. Dr. Flair. Can you make me a blade ring? Yep.
This Survivor Series is going to be a big doggone deal. It's this Saturday. So it kind of feels a little old school. It's around Thanksgiving again. Of course, we got the WrestleCade Super Show if you're in Winston-Salem, and the Live My World with Jeff Jarrett and Survivor Series all on the same doggone day. And yeah, the name of this Survivor Series is Survivor Series War Games. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man. We got the Brawling Brutes, which is Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens taking on the Bloodline. And then on the other side, we got the ladies, which is Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and a mystery opponent taking on Damage Control, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. So two separate War Games matches coming up this weekend.
Oh, that pay-per-view is this weekend?
Yes, it is.
Oh, on Sunday?
Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Yeah, they've gone to Saturday now. Why is that?
I think they've realized that they don't maybe want to compete with the NFL on Sunday night.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's a tough Saturday. I mean, what are they going to do in Ohio? Were they going to close down the whole state of Ohio on Sunday?
I know my Saturday is going to be big because we're doing Alabama-Auburn at 2:30, and then we get to watch a little wrestling in the evening. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, and here's the deal, though. I'm talking about Saturday is when they close down the whole state of Ohio.
Yes.
Because I can't stand Ohio State. Michigan.
You think Michigan's going to be able to pull the win off after they barely won last week?
Oh, come on. You can't win every game.
Listen to you. That's not what you're saying when Alabama loses.
Well, Alabama's supposed to win every game.
I'm listening to you.
They are. Hey, and they'll be back. Who are they kidding him? Do you think he's going to end up his career like this? Every time they're criticized, a guy like, you know, they're giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of shit, and obviously they're saying Nick Saban's lost it. You know, goddamn, you got seven national titles, but you have one bad season, so you've lost it.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
I mean, you and I have fun joking about it. You'll probably beat Auburn by 50 points.
There's no chance.
Whether Lane Kiffin's there or not.
Let's talk about that. Do you think there's any chance they announce Lane Kiffin on Saturday? A lot of people think that's the day. I don't know that I'm convinced.
Is he going to take a job?
I mean, some people are saying that it's going to be announced on Saturday. I don't know if I believe that.
Why would he leave Ole Miss?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got a job for life there.
Well, not only that, but I mean, God, you got a real competitive team. I mean, they're a pretty good team this year, right?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Bad night for Space Mountain.
Oh, gosh. And then we see Ronnie Garvin on the top rope. Oh, man, look at there.
One,
cross for the big sunset flip. You counter. You're holding the top ropes for leverage. Tommy Young catches you, rolls it over into a sunset flip. You kick out. Tommy Young is working his ass off.
Oh, God. He, once again, unbelievable.
Hoop's dad says, why'd you drop it to Garvin? Why not Barry Windham, Ricky Morton, Jimmy Garvin, or Hawk? Is it true they offered the belt to Barry and Ricky first and they declined? That is a story that's been out there before. That
no, absolutely.
Ricky Morton was offered a spot and he didn't want to do that to Robert, so he turned it down. Have you heard that story before?
No. And I doubt that that's the case.
Okay.
And I know Barry would have taken it too. I think Barry had a knee injury or something. That was his first knee injury. I can't remember for sure, but Barry, I mean, either one of those guys would have taken it on a dime. Who wouldn't?
There it is. Ric Flair is the world champion again, beaten, battered, bloody, but getting his hand raised. And it is a little weird to see the crowd cheering you. I know you loved playing a bad guy, but Chicago was one of those markets that's loved you for a long, long time.
Yeah. Look, fortunately, I love Chicago. I was just there, you know, with great turnout. And I was at a signing in New York with Bianca Belair and with Liv Morgan, and man, they killed it. So I'm glad to see everybody's doing well.
Let's talk about what this title win meant to you. Of course, you win the world title for the very first time, September of 81 in Kansas City from Dusty Rhodes. And then, of course, we're going to have some shenanigans that aren't really acknowledged where you're doing some stuff in Puerto Rico and whatnot. But your second title win was Starrcade 83. And, man, it was essentially the first WrestleMania, the first super show. We turned away thousands at the door. It shuts down the highway. It's just crazy what you're able to do there. We don't really acknowledge what happened in New Zealand and Singapore. But then we do acknowledge that you win the world title back from Dusty Rhodes in St. Louis of 86. And now here, I guess we're going to say this is the fourth time. Because at this point, you've beaten Dusty Rhodes, you beat Harley Race, you beat Dusty again, and now Ronnie Garvin. Did being the world champion for the fourth time, I mean, this one in particular, it's your super show, it's in Chicago, it's fresh after we've sort of combined forces with Watts. Did this feel special? Was it monumental?
No, well, gosh,
another day.
They all felt special. Again, just to be in that position. But once again, you know, when I look at this, I think to myself, God, how good we were. And I mean, we really had a good product until, actually, I think we had the better wrestlers. Not better wrestlers, but I mean, we had equally as good talent, WWE, but you can't start. We started moving around instead of staying in our base. I mean, Greensboro never drew again like that.
Right.
They felt like a slap in the face. And if that's not the most telling story in the history of my career, and seeing a town empty out after selling out for 20 years, and then same with Winston-Salem with the War Games. You know, they're not paying to see the good guy in the war games is where the bay faces catch up. But the way Bischoff was booking it, Jesus Christ, who knows? Just, well, hey, they're out of business.
They are out of business.
What can I tell you? Word nitro, I can't even spell it.
The unfortunate reality of Starrcade 87 is it's going to be sort of the beginning of the end for Jim Crockett Promotions. Of course, a year later, they're going to be sold to Turner, and it's a new day. But the payoff from this show was not what Arn and Tully had been hoping for. It was about half. And as a result, they're going to be sort of upset, and 88 is going to be a tough year. And of course, the WWF is going to continue to expand into things like SummerSlam. And one by one, you start seeing a lot of talent jump ship, including Ronnie Garvin, including Big Bubba Rogers, who becomes the Big Boss Man, including Arn and Tully, did you know coming out of the show here that, hey man, we're in trouble? Or at that point, did it still feel business as usual for you?
I knew we were in trouble. You start losing some of your key guys. I mean, Bubba could always work. He just was intimidated as Big Bubba Garvin used to beat the crap out of him. Not intensely, just the way he worked, right? And Ray'd always say to me, why is Ronnie Garvin hit me so hard? You're 300 pounds and 6'4". But look at you, he went up there and God, he and Hogan drew huge money. So
yeah,
good for him. And then the Brainbusters, I mean, I don't think it's even arguable. I think they're the best tag team. I mean, the reason why people like FTR and that want to be like Arn and Tully, they were great.
No doubt.
But it's kind of like tag team wrestling wasn't really that big a deal with the WWE. It's like, look how long they kept Jim and Brett together, Hart Brothers, you know what I mean, the Hart Foundation. And it finally took Brett breaking off to establish who he was, right? So he become one of the all-time greats. But once again, this is the kind of stuff that people, just my opinion, but the Brainbuster should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you look at the list of people there, I mean, and they were managed by Bobby Heenan. So right. They were hot. And in the match, I remember Arn called me. He was so excited. Him and Tully in the main event against Jannetty and
Sean.
And what a hell of a match they had. Holy Christ. Arn and Tully could work, man. Huge.
Well, what's on the docket for the Nature Boy this weekend? We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. Where are you cutting your turkey at?
I'm going to go to Ashley's.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I was going to come down there and see you, but after get off there, I'll tell you why I'm coming to see you at Christmas.
Roll Tide. I ain't mad at that.
If I'm still invited.
Of course you're invited.
I will be. I felt like I just would, you know, I'm lucky enough to have that opportunity to be with her and be with you guys both. So, I will, be with Ashley and looking forward to that tomorrow. And then,
so you're cruising over to Orlando today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
There you go.
You're not going to believe this, right? So, you know, I lost my wallet in Vegas, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, I lost my wallet. Had a lot of money in it. I mean, my credit card, driver license, and everything, right? So I spent all day yesterday. I have been driving around Tampa with a Georgia tag that expired in 2020.
Oh my God.
So I had to call in the sheriff to help me out. And I spent the whole day at the DMV yesterday getting my driver's license, and now I'm going to get a tag so I'll be legal.
My gosh, what's going on with Ric Flair?
Don't let me go to Vegas with a wallet.
You know, it was Kelly's day to watch you. What was she doing? We got to get Kelly to start watching you
back. Kelly. She was the international champion. Boyfriend of Indiana was there. Her NCAA national champion.
Well, she still needs to keep your ass on a leash. Just saying.
Kelly, you're supposed to keep my ass on a leash.
Yes. Everyone listening agrees. Hey, so let's talk about Survivor Series this weekend. Of course, it is the Thanksgiving tradition that killed Starrcade. Seth freaking Rollins, Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory are going to be in a three-way for the U.S. title. Who you got?
Give it to me one more time.
Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory, three-way dance for the U.S. title.
Seth Rollins.
I think Austin Theory is going to get it. I think he's got the hot hand right now. We got a singles match with AJ Styles taking on Finn Balor.
The only reason I say Seth is he's done a lot of favors lately.
Oh, yeah, he has.
Yes, I just think sometimes you got to put a little something back in the bank. So,
well, speaking of bank, this match will be money. AJ Styles, Finn Balor, who you got?
God, I like them both so much personally.
I think Finn needs it more than AJ.
Yeah, I mean, they're really pushing Finn hard. I don't know. I'm going to go with my first instinct. I'm going to say Styles wins.
Well, it happens this Saturday night. Of course, we've also got Ronda Rousey and Shotzi. I think, you know, as much as I love Shotzi, I got to think Ronda gets her hand raised on that one. What say you?
I agree.
The Brawling Brutes, again, that's Sheamus, Ridge Holland, Butch, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens taking on the Bloodline, which is going to be Roman, Solo, Sammy, and the Usos. I mean, I got to think the Bloodline wins there. You see anything different?
Nope. I say, then, I just say keep Roman as high as you possibly can. And he doesn't need to lose in a tag match.
On the ladies' side, this gets a little tougher to pick. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and another person to be announced against Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. What do you think?
I'm going with Bayley's team.
Bailey's team, I think, is probably ripe for the win.
Bailey's my girl. I like all of them, but I like Bailey a lot. I got a respect for her. I tell you, Bailey is a really versatile. She can do anything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I got a lot of respect for her, a lot of time for her. So I'm glad she's back. When she was gone, they missed her dearly.
It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, because after this pay-per-view, we really start getting ready for the Royal Rumble. And of course, after the Rumble, man, or even going into the Rumble, everybody's got WrestleMania in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
We're a couple months out, but if you had to pick it right now, who would you pick to win the Royal Rumble?
Well, the winner mean the Royal Rumble winner is the guy to wrestle Roman. Correct?
Seems that way.
Well, that would mean The Rock would have to be in Royal Rumble, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't see The Rock just cashing in or something like that. I just see. So I would like to see if he's totally healthy, and I think it's a hell of a match, Randy Orton.
Wow, okay.
Come back strong and have Randy wrestle Roman.
It wasn't too long ago we saw a picture posted on social media when the Ortons were celebrating their anniversary, and we saw Randy in a hospital gown. Is that an old photo? Did he have a recent surgery? Do you know anything about when he might be back in action?
It's soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to have surgery. So, but he's in a good place, and I mean, I know people are think I'm too old school, but until somebody proves it better, someone that's his size and his knowledge and his ability, he's the best worker in the business.
Well, as for me, I'm pulling for Cody Rhodes. I'd love to see Cody Rhodes be the guy.
I didn't know Cody was back.
Well, he's not back, but I mean, if you're saying Randy's coming back, I think it's fair to say that Cody's coming back too.
I didn't think Cody would be ready to March. Oh, wow. Well, I like Cody Rhodes too. My God,
that's now, I'm not coming back. I'm just saying, if I'm fantasy booking this, that's what I want to see. I want to
fantasy booking. Yeah. I like that. I absolutely like Cody. I'm just saying who the best worker in the business is.
Speaking of fantasy, there is a game this weekend.
I mean, just think about the WWE, their roster. They're doing well, but can you imagine when they get back Randy, Cody, Charlotte, Sasha, if she ever comes back? I mean,
loaded, son.
I mean,
loaded.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
The queen, I'm going to, if I have to hold her down and put the figure eight on her tomorrow, I'm going to find out what's up. She won't tell me shit. I don't trust her dad.
Well, this Saturday, it's going to be a big day. We're going to get it kicked off with the Wolverines and Ohio State.
Hell yeah.
Number two.
I can't stand Ohio State.
And then later in the day, we're going to get to see Auburn, Alabama. But we'll round out the night with that nothing happening, Mark Carano's favorite, Notre Dame taking on USC. Who do you got in that one, Rick?
To be honest with you, and I like that Freeman kid so well. They started out rough, but they played good lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a hell of a game.
I'm going USC just so I can give Carano.
That's because you're kissing Jim Ross and asking you like that Riley guy.
Oh, not at all. I just want to give Carano shit. And you see right there.
I'm having more fun. Hey, I was with Billy Sims in Chicago. And I go, Billy, you guys still got a football crime at Oklahoma? He said, we're rebuilding. I said, rebuilding what? You talk about zeroed out. Jared's brother sounded about the Sooners this year.
My goodness.
They're as bad as Nebraska.
Wait. Saturday, man. I love it. It's football. It's wrestling. It's my favorite time of the year. It's like Fat Guy Christmas this weekend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, man. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. Fire up some old school wrestling today and take care of yourself.
I will call you tomorrow from Winks.
I can't wait. We'll see you guys soon. Next week, right here.
Give my beautiful daughter a big hug.
I'm going to give her a lot more than that.
Oh, man. Woo. See you, man.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Bye, guys.